Chapter 62. In a sort of half-toilet country people ordinarily dine in. Then advancing to the foot of the staircase she called distinctly, but somewhat fearfully, apostrophe Mrs. Jethway. Apostrophe apostrophe, no answer. With a look of relief and regret combined, denoting that ease came to the heart and disappointment to the brain, Elfride paused for several minutes, as if undecided how to act. Determining to wait, she sat down on a chair. The minutes drew on, and after sitting on the thorns of impatience for half an hour, she searched her pocket, took therefrom a letter, and tore off the blank leaf. Then taking out a pencil she wrote upon the paper. Dear Mrs. Jethway, I have been to visit you. I wanted much to see you, but I cannot wait any longer. I came to beg you not to execute the threats you have repeated to me. Do not, I beseech you, Mrs. Jethway, let anyone know I ran away from home. It would ruin me with him, and break my heart. I will do anything for you, if you will be kind to me. In the name of our common womanhood, do not, I implore you, make a scandal of me. Yours, E. Swankert. Apostrophe apostrophe, she folded the note cornerwise, directed it, and placed it on the table. Then again drawing the hood over her curly head she emerged silently as he had come. Whilst this episode had been in action at Mrs. Jethway's cottage, Knight had gone from the dining room into the drawing room, and found Mrs. Swankert there alone. Elfride has vanished upstairs or somewhere, apostrophe she said. And I have been reading an article in an old number of the present, that I lighted on by chance a short time ago. It is an article you once told us was yours. Well, Harry, with due deference to your literary powers, allow me to say that this effusion is all nonsense, in my opinion. Apostrophe apostrophe, what is it about? Apostrophe apostrophe, said Knight, taking up the paper and reading. There. Don't get red about it. Own that experience has taught you to be more charitable. I have never read such unchivalrous sentiments in my life from a man, I mean. There, I forgive you. It was before you knew Elfride. Apostrophe apostrophe, oh yes, apostrophe said Knight, looking up. I remember now. The text of that sermon was not my own at all, but was suggested to me by a young man named Smith, the same whom I have mentioned to you as coming from this parish. I thought the idea rather ingenious at the time, and enlarged it to the weight of a few guineas, because I had nothing else in my head. Apostrophe apostrophe, which idea do you call the text? I am curious to know that. Apostrophe, well, this, apostrophe said Knight, somewhat unwillingly. That experience teaches, and your sweetheart, no less than your tailor, is necessarily very imperfect in her duties, if you are her first patron. And conversely, the sweetheart who is graceful under the initial kiss must be supposed to have had some practice in the trade. Apostrophe apostrophe, and do you mean to say that you wrote that upon the strength of another man's remark, without having tested it by practice? Apostrophe apostrophe, yes indeed I do. Apostrophe apostrophe, then I think it was uncalled for and unfair. And how do you know it is true? I expect you regret it now. Apostrophe, since you bring me into a serious mood, I will speak candidly. I do believe that remark to be perfectly true, and, having written it, I would defend it anywhere. But I do often regret, having ever written it, as well as others of the sort. I have grown older since, and I find such a tone of writing is calculated to do harm in the world. Every literary jack becomes a gentleman, if he can only pen a few indifferent satires upon womankind. Women themselves, too, have taken to the trick, and so, upon the whole, I begin to be rather ashamed of my companions. Apostrophe apostrophe, ah, Henry, you have fallen in love since, and it makes a difference, apostrophe said Mrs. Swankert with a faint tone of banter. That's true, but that is not my reason. Apostrophe apostrophe, having found that, in a case of your own experience, a so-called goose was a swan, it seems absurd to deny such a possibility in other men's experiences. apostrophe apostrophe you can hit palpably. Cousin Charlotte, apostrophe said Knight. You are like a boy who puts a stone inside a snowball, and I shall play with you no longer. Excuse me, I am going for my evening stroll. Apostrophe apostrophe, though Knight had spoken jestingly, this incident and conversation had caused him a sudden depression. Coming, rather singularly, just after his discovery, that Elfride had known what it was to love warmly before as he had known him, his mind dwelt upon the subject, and the familiar pipe he smoked, whilst pacing up and down the shrubbery path, failed to be a solace. He thought again of those idle words hitherto quite forgotten about the first kiss of a girl, and the theory seemed more than reasonable. Of course their sting now lay in their bearing on Elfride. Elfride, under Knight's kiss, had certainly been a very different woman from herself under Stephen's. Whether for good or for ill, as he had marvelously well learned a betrothed lady's part, and the fascinating finish of her deportment in this second campaign did probably arise from her unreserved encouragement of Stephen. Knight, with all the rapidity of jealous sensitiveness, pounced upon some words as he had inadvertently let fall about an earring, which he had only partially understood at the time. It was during that initial kisses by the little waterfall. We must be careful. I lost the other by doing this. Apostrophe, a flush which had in it as much of wounded pride as of sorrow, passed over Knight as he thought of what he had so frequently said to her in his simplicity. I always meant to be the first comer in a woman's heart, fresh lips are none for me. Apostrophe apostrophe, how childishly blind he must have seemed to this mere girl. How she must have laughed at him inwardly. He absolutely writhed as he thought of the confession as he had wrung from him on the boat in the darkness of night. The one conception which had sustained his dignity, when drawn out of his shell on that occasion, that of her charming ignorance of all such matters, how absurd it was. This man, whose imagination had been fed up to preternatural size by lonely study, and silent observations of his kind whose emotions had been drawn out long and delicate by his seclusion, like plants in a cellar, was now absolutely in pain. Moreover, several years of poetic study, and, if the truth must be told, poetic efforts, had tended to develop the affective side of his constitution still further, in proportion to his active faculties. It was his belief in the absolute newness of blandishment to Elfride which had constituted her primary charm. He began to think it was as hard to be earliest in a woman's heart as it was to be first in the pool of Bethesda. That Knight should have been thus constituted. That Elfride's second lover should not have been one of the great mass of bustling mankind, little given to introspection, whose good nature might have compensated for any lack of appreciativeness, was the chance of things. That her throbbing, self-confounding, indiscreet heart should have to defend itself unaided against the keen scrutiny and logical power which Knight, now that his suspicions were awakened, would sooner or later be sure to exercise against her, was her misfortune. A miserable incongruity was apparent in the circumstance of a strong mind practicing its unerring archery upon a heart which the owner of that mind loved better than his own. Elfride's docile devotion to Knight was now its own enemy. Clinging to him so dependently, she taught him in time to presume upon that devotion a lesson men are not slow to learn. A slight rebelliousness occasionally would have done him no harm, and would have been a world of advantage to her. But she idolized him, and was proud to be his bond servant. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.